Well, good morning, everybody. This morning, I'm going to start by reading from the book of Proverbs. It's a wonderful little book. Got some amazing standalone wisdom in there. You don't need a great deal of context or understanding or background to read the book of Proverbs. Just standalone gems of wisdom. And here we go. Chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. It says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep?" And then it says in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 25, "Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer." Amen. Ants have little strength in comparison to a human being, but they store up their food in the summer. I was wondering if you've ever heard of a myrmecologist. A myrmecologist. A myrmecologist is not somebody who murmurs a lot, okay? We've got a lot of those around in the society. But a myrmecologist is somebody who studies ants. Okay, there you go. You've learned something new this morning, the study of ants. And I don't know how productive it is to devote your life to studying the little things, but I do know that the Bible says that we should go to the ant or look to the ant. Now, I'm sure that we understand where the Bible says, go to Jesus, go to God, go to the Holy Spirit, look to heaven, look to Jesus. We understand all that, but come on now, look to the ant. The smallest, tiniest little creature that you could ever possibly imagine. And yet the Bible says, look to the ant and consider its ways, how it acts and behaves, and learn from it. Learn to be wise. We gain wisdom from looking at the ant. Isn't that incredible? That's absolutely amazing. Be wise. In other words, there is much wisdom that can be gained from looking at ants. So why is that? Well, basically, because God has imprinted aspects of his kingdom in the ant colony. There's an imprint of God on what the ants do and how they arrange themselves and how they organize themselves. The colony reflects the wisdom of God. So we do well and we learn things from looking at the ants. Just a couple of facts about ants. Maybe some pictures will come up behind you about the amazing structures that ants can create, especially if you go to Africa. You see these incredible, colossal buildings that they produce. In actual fact, they can produce buildings 500 times their own height. That's incredible. There are 10,000 different species of ant, but they all operate, you know, according to the same pattern. They are able to lift 20 times their own body weight. So basically, if I were an ant, I would be able to lift 4,160 pounds. Okay, that's just over 13 stone. Okay. 20 times 13 stone. That's incredible. The brain of an ant has 250,000 brain cells, which compares to 10,000 million brain cells in your little head this morning. Okay? So we are much more intelligent than them. We have much more brain power and brain capacity from them. However, they probably use more of their cells than we do in actual fact. What do you think? Possibly. Ants also have two stomachs, I am told. Okay, one stomach is for themselves, and the other stomach is to store food so that they can share with other ants. Isn't that fantastic? Okay, they share, they learn to share. So they are very thoughtful creatures. The life expectancy of an ant is between 45 and 60 days. Yet these tiny little creatures accomplish a huge amount in that short space of time. So this morning, I want us to consider, to go to the ant, look to the ant and see what can we learn from the ant. So first of all, the ant teaches us that in order to be effective and efficient in our lives, you need a plan. You need a plan. What the ants achieve doesn't happen higgledy-piggledy. It happens because they have a plan. This reflects the heart and the nature of God. Because God always has a plan.
Amen.
God is a planner. So when Adam and Eve fell, God developed a plan to save the human race. And he spent thousands of years working out that plan. And that plan worked through the Old Testament prophets and laws. And eventually it found its fulfillment in the person of Jesus. God is a planner. Yeah, Jesus had a plan when he came to this earth. Strange plan in our way of thinking, to our way of thinking. He turned the wisdom, our wisdom, on its head. Because Jesus' plan was to come to die. He's the only person ever born who came into this world in order to die for the sins of humanity.
Yeah.
To carry your sin and your burden and your guilt and your shame upon his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live for him and live to righteousness. Jacqueline took authority over shame this morning. I want to tell you this morning, in the cross of Jesus, it's dealt with.
Amen.
He dealt with it when he died upon the cross. So God always has a plan. Jesus had a plan. Ants have a plan because they reflect the nature of God. We should have a plan for our lives. We should have a plan for our church. They are very busy little creatures. They are not, as the Bible says this morning, sluggards. That means lazy people. They're always busy. They're always doing something. They don't know the meaning of procrastination. They don't know what it means to put something off. They are doers. You know, they wait. They don't wait, rather, until the weather turns cold before they start preparing for winter. They gather food, as the Bible tells us, while it is still warm, and they take it to their colony. And many of those who do this work and this work of preparation for the winter will never live to eat the food that they store up. They die before the winter comes because in their plan, they are always thinking of the future. They are always thinking of those who come after them. And any person, any church with a plan needs to think of legacy. Yes. Who's coming after me?
Yes.
Needs to think about your family. What's going to happen when I die? What's going to happen when I'm called away from this planet? You need a plan. You need to plan for these things. We don't like doing those things, but it is absolutely necessary. The ants want to make sure that their family is looked after when they go. Verse 8 says, the ant stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Now, many believers are very busy. We are very active doing things. We are running around here, there, and everywhere, helter-skelter with our lives. But we are not acting according to a plan. We have no plan. Okay? It's like every day brings its own challenge. We live from challenge to challenge, sometimes from disaster to disaster. We are crisis management, but we have no plan. Well, believers need a plan and a vision, just like ants. We need to make sure when that plan is shared that we know what it is, and just like the ants, that we act according to that plan. Your family will have a collective plan. Our church will have a collective plan. And we need to know what it is. We need to be aware of it. We need to know what our vision is. But above anything else, we need to cooperate with it. We need to work with it and alongside it. Everything within the church, and I'm talking about church this morning because we are family. I say that again. We are family. We are brothers and sisters. We love each other. We support each other. We cooperate with each other. We partner with each other. So we are family. And everything within our family should be geared towards reaching people and teaching people. Right? So we reach out to people, but we also, through small groups, through Sunday morning, we teach people to grow in their faith and in discipleship. All the topics we're doing in small groups at the moment, they are all about discipleship. Because disciples are thrown off track very often because they don't know how to deal with offense, they don't know how to take criticism or how to overcome criticism, and they don't know how to deal with rejection. These are vital topics that we are dealing with within our small groups at the moment. In the secular world, many Christians, not saying you particularly, but many Christians would lose their job if they behaved like many Christians do in church. In business, if you were running a business, you would go bankrupt. Why? If you're in business, your business is a priority. But in church, for many Christians, church is simply not a priority. For many Christians, they put little care, little attention, little effort. There's no spirit of excellence in what's happening. There's little interest in participation or working to a plan. They may know the plan, they may not know the plan, but they ignore it. They ignore the vision and they go on doing their own thing. I was going to say something else, but I'm not going to say it now. Okay? I have a reason for that. Scripture says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. So whatever your hand finds to do within the church, do it with all your might. Galatians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So whatever you do, do in the name of. What does that mean? If I do something in your name, it means I'm acting on your behalf. So whatever we do, we are acting in the name of Jesus. We are acting on his behalf. We are ambassadors for the Lord. So whatever we do, we need to keep that in mind, that we are his representatives in everything that we do. Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. So are we working at our ministry? Are we working at our church attendance? Are we working at our small groups with all of our heart? Or are we giving it second best and showing little interest and little devotion? So the first thing is, ants work according to a plan and according to a vision. Have you got a plan and a vision for your life? Have you got a plan and a vision within the church? Are you working with that plan and with that vision? Because, you know, when we do work to the plan, you see what happens. Wonderful edifices are built. And I'm not talking here about physical buildings. I'm talking about the amazing people that are built. the amazing people that are released, the amazing things that a group of people who have a plan and a vision and work diligently to that plan and to that vision can achieve. That's been my heart here at LifeSpring ever since we started, was to try and bring a group of people together who would have a vision and a plan and would build something amazing here in Ollerton. We've got a great building. We've got a great group of people, but we're not where God wants us to be. We're on the way. Okay, we're on the way, but we're not where God wants us to be. And I want you to realize that we're not there. This is a vision that burns in my heart and in my life. Okay, it's a vision that God has not released me from, even though I am 67 years of age. He has not released me from it. And I am still reaching out and I am still asking people, will you be part of our plan? Will you come and help us to build something incredible and something amazing here at New Ollerton, at Church Warsop, or wherever else God will send us? That's the first thing. The second thing is that ants can only build because there is peace and harmony in the colony. To achieve anything, anywhere, there has to be unity, there has to be peace and harmony. You see, there is peace, and there is harmony, and there is love within the Godhead. The love that flows between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is nothing else but love flowing in the Godhead. And God brings the church into that relationship. God brings you and me into that relationship. He knows nothing of disharmony. He knows nothing of disunity. God, just as he's a God of love, is a God of peace, and he's a God of harmony. And one of the reasons that ants get so much accomplished and can build such wonderful edifices is because there is harmony. It doesn't mean to say they don't have their problems from time to time. The myrmecologists will tell you that they do fight from time to time, mainly about the queen ant or whatever. But there is generally peace and harmony. And it says in Psalm 133, verse 1, how good and how pleasant it is when God's people dwell together in harmony. Amen. How good and how pleasant. Why? Because, you know, that reflects the heart of God. Max Lucado, who has written some incredible books, he once spent 3 days cramped up in a camper van with his father and another friend. They went fishing. And unfortunately, the weather turned and they spent 3 days in the camper van playing Monopoly and reading stories from the Reader's Digest. And the first day was okay. But on the second day, they started to get on each other's nerves. And Max started to notice things about his father and about his friend that he'd never seen before. And, conflict broke out between them. And it wasn't the most harmonious of days, the second and the third day. So more than anything else, they started to pick fault with each other. They started to criticize each other. But afterwards, he reflected on it. And what did he learn? And these are some of the lessons that he learned. He said, when those who are called to fish don't fish, what do? They fight. So when we don't get on with the plan and we don't get on with the mission that God has called us to do, what happens? Conflict breaks out in the colony. Okay, that's the first thing. When energy that is intended to be used outside and focused outwards is used inside, the result is explosive. And instead of casting nets, what do? We cast stones at each other. Instead of extending a helping hand, we point accusing fingers. Instead of being fishers of the lost, we become critics of the saved. I read some posts on Facebook from some people, and all they do is criticize the church. That's all they do. That's their ministry, criticizing the church. They are critics of the saved. And rather than helping the hurting, they hurt the helpers. Now, we don't want to be part of any of that, okay? Because we don't want to fight. If we're not going to fight with each other, what do we need to do? We need to focus on the calling of God. We need to focus on what God has called us to do. We need to focus our energy outwards rather than inwards. We need to cast our nets and stop casting stones. Amen. We need to stop pointing accusing fingers at one another. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Amen. There should be no limit to what we do. No limit to what we do to protect the unity and the peace of the church and the fellowship. Because if we don't go anywhere. We don't achieve anything. We don't see people saved. We don't hear wonderful stories like we heard this morning of somebody being delivered from rejection the moment they came out of the waters of baptism, somebody being set free from cancer. We don't hear those stories. Those are only possible because God's people work together, pray together, stay together, love one another together. So that's the second thing, is peace and harmony. And the third thing that we learn from the ant, are you getting wiser this morning? I am. I got wiser learning about this. The third thing that we learn from the ant is partnership. God always works in partnership. And he's put that imprint on the colony of ants. Now, ants don't have a choice about it, really, because they haven't got free will. But you have free will. So we can choose to partner, or we can choose to go off on our own. An evolutionist once wrote this. On their own, it says, each ant's behavior is relatively useless. I think we could apply that to ourselves, couldn't we? On our own, our activity is relatively useless. But when swarms of ants come together, the patterns optimize naturally and allow them to accomplish tasks that should be far beyond their reach. To the outside observer, their self-organizing efforts seem to be directed by some larger force or collective intelligence. Wow, we know who that larger force is, don't we? And that collective intelligence, that's God. God's put that in the ant. Why did he put it in the ant? Because he wants you and me to learn from the ant. He wants you and me to learn that ants have a plan and we need to act according to a plan. You know, there is no room for lone rangers or mavericks within the church. We all need to work together. Yeah, we need to have a plan. We need to do everything we can to preserve the peace of the colony, of the community. And we need to work in partnership with each other. Did you get that phrase? The larger force. That's God. And you know what? When we submit to God's will and God's hand, God directs us within the church. He's the one who directs us. He's the one who draws people in. He's the one who prompts people to preach or to help in a particular ministry. If God isn't working in the church in that particular way and we're not allowing God to speak to us and to guide us and to direct us and we're just following our own plan, then, you know, we all do our own thing. And the colony doesn't grow. And we don't go anywhere. Or we struggle. We struggle and we plateau. And then eventually what's going to happen, maybe after 10, 20 years, the church is going to decline. That's what's happened in many, many churches throughout this country. But What God has given us this morning through the ant is a blueprint. A blueprint for not plateauing, but a blueprint for growing and doing something incredible and something amazing for God through that kind of solidarity. The colony is a community where they live together in purpose-made buildings that go down often 35 feet below the ground. Amazing. And they all have rooms for various activities. Very well organized, very intelligent, but they all work together. You will never see an ant, or very rarely see an ant out on its own, working on its own. It's always in a community. It's always working with each other, with other ants. And that's one of the great messages for the church. Look to the ant and be wise. Be wise if you want to be a great church. Be wise if you want to be a great Christian. Learn from the ant. Don't isolate yourself. Don't go off on your own. Be part of something that can be great. We believers are to cooperate with the Lord, submit to Him, and allow Him to work in our lives so that we cooperate and work with other believers. We have to work together and pull together, or we'll pull apart. We want to pull together rather than pull apart. Once upon a time, there was a pig and a cow living together on a farm. The cow was popular and the pig was not. And this puzzled the pig. And he said to the cow, he said, "People speak warmly of you and they love you. They love your gentle nature and your sorrowful eyes. And they think you're generous because each day you give them milk and cream. But what about me? I'm going to give them everything I have. I'm going to give them bacon." Everybody said bacon. "I'm going to give them bacon and ham. I'll provide bristles for brushes. And they even pickle my feet. Yet, no one likes me. Why is that?" So you have the cow, wonderfully loved and wonderfully accepted, who gives milk and cream, and the pig, whom everybody hates, but gives everything, his own life. Okay? And the cow replied, "Perhaps it's because I give while I'm still living." Don't wait until you die to give everything to somebody else. Give while you are still alive. Partner while you are still alive. At the beginning of this year, I say to you, be like the ant. Let it be a theme for this year. Come in from your isolation, if you're in isolation. Come and join. Come and be part. Come and let God guide you and direct you. Give while you are still alive. So that we give away everything. We've given away everything when we come to that point of death. So as I conclude this message this morning, I say, are you considering the ways of the ant? How are you performing in life? Are you giving it everything? Or are you lazy and laid back? How are you doing in your family? How are you doing in your job? Or in church? How's things? Are you doing everything as unto the Lord? Think about that this morning. Take that away with you. Are you doing your best? Are you working towards excellence? That's what God wants to put into each and every one of us, is a heart and a spirit of excellence. And you know what? If you're bitter and you're critical and you're feeling rejected, you're never going to be able to give of your best. Come to Jesus. Let him heal you like he healed Karen. Let him deal with your hang-ups and your baggage so that you can give of your best this year. Let this year be a year where you can join the colony and you can give of your best. Are you a partner in the ministry of the church? We need workers. We need for every member of this church to participate in some ministry or other. We run parent and toddler. We run youth groups. We run older groups. We run make lunches. We feed people. We have a help with the food bank. We need people here on a Sunday morning. So are you partnering in the ministry of the church? And are you prepared for the future? Is your family prepared for the future? And I ask you this morning, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you preparing yourself for that day when you will stand before him? Are you living according to a plan to meet the Lord? Developing your spiritual life. I'm not saying you're saved by works, but we need to work out our salvation. Are you working out your salvation? So there's food for thought here this morning. Look to the ant this year. Look at the example that he gives, because God has done something in that ant colony, and it's there for us to learn something. As a church, are we going to learn this year that we need to work to that plan to reach the lost, to share Jesus, and to save lives? Everything we do, whether it's the parent and toddler, whether it's the youth group, whether it's a performing arts group, whether it's our life groups or here on a Sunday morning, we need to behave in such a way that we are reaching people with the gospel of Jesus, not just a little group looking after ourselves and catering for the saved. We're here to reach the lost. Amen. So, are you ready? Are you preparing to meet the Lord? If you're not, then come this morning. Come to Jesus. I'm not going to take an altar call, but I am calling you to Jesus as we finish. Why don't you bow your heads?